Okay, everybody's tight. We mentioned last week regarding the Mahalach of Rav Dessler that basically was very innovative. He was very innovative in his approach to Derech HaMusar, and the fact is that he actually departed from the usual traditional way of teaching Musar, and the fact is that he had introduced different sources that was not Mekubal. Not Chas V'Sholem, but things like Zohar HaKodesh, Sefer Chassidus, and so on and so forth, trying to glean from the best of all worlds. And Rav Dessler pointed out, because he said this is Yeridus HaDoiris, these generations, basically it's a declining generation, and therefore you need a different approach according to each generation needs his Mahalach in order to be able to reach the masses. And the truth is that when he said that it's Yeridus HaDoiris, that it's a decline of generations, he also included himself as well. It's not just because he has to teach others that are in a matzav of Yeridus HaDoiris, but he would always include himself. They said he also needs a different level of chizuk because Yeridus HaDoiris affects him as well. Very choshev Rosh Yeshiva, as a matter of fact, he was a great Ilui and a great Tzaddik also at the same time. His name was Rav Aharon Cohen. Rav Aharon Cohen, Zichron Avrocha, wrote a sefer, many chalokim of shiurim were printed for him. It's called Beis Aharon. Not to be confused with Beis Aharon for Baron Vulcan, but Beis Aharon is a shiurim on various Masechtas Yeshivas. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Hebron. As a matter of fact, he himself was a very stark Litvish Rosh Yeshiva that became the scar of the Chassidus. Very interestingly enough. That, for example, in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, he would daven like Friday night, he would daven like Badr Baruch, but told us Aaron, because they liked the very, very Varam davening. It was very unusual to see a Litvish Rosh Yeshiva of that kind of a stature, but that's what he was very much attracted to that. So Rav Aharon Cohen once asked Rav Dessler, he says, I never hear speaking about, simply about Amunah Bashem, just outright talking about Amunah Bashem. I just mentioned Rav Aharon Cohen, there's something very interesting about him, that he once asked the Chazon Ish, he says, maybe you can give me an etzah, how a person is able to conquer, he says, the taiva of achila. It's a natural desire, people have different levels of appetites, and eating certainly is a taiva, is a desire. So how does one conquer that? How does one conquer the taiva of achila? And the Chazon Ish says, I don't have any special etzah for you, but I can tell you one fact. The fact is that when a person has a desire for something, right, that desire for that something only lasts as long until he finds something greater, which is even more desirous. When something attracts his attention even more, he sees something better, something nicer, and so on, then he forgets about the smaller thing, but rather now he focuses on something better. And then, if he's able to be shown something that's even greater, even bigger, even more desirous, so the rule is that that which is more desirous basically cancels out the smaller desires, because you focus your attention and you're attracted to that which is mostly attractive. Says the Chazon Ish, if someone is able, he says, to be zoiche, to find a real tam in Torah, it'll cancel out the type of achila, because that should be the most desirous. And then he says, I don't believe, he says, that Sosa Choshin really felt a real tam in kugel. Said, being the great goyim that he was, that's what the Chazon Ish added. In any case, so Rav Aharon Cohen asked Rav Dessler, he says, why didn't he simply speak about simple faith in Hashem, about simple emun in Hashem? And Rav Dessler really said, and here's where he put himself down, he says, to have an effect on someone simply talking about emunah b'Hashem, you yourself have to be an Erlich Hayid, in order that the words coming out of a genuine heart would be able to simply influence someone, he says. But he did not feel that he was at that level. Rav Dessler said, he reads Adairis, and he feels that merely talking about it on a simple level, he would not be able to influence others. He says, because the rule is that Vorm Hayoitzim and Alev, Nechnosim and Alev, he didn't feel that his Lev is on that level, that his Vorm Hayoitzim of his Lev would be able to be Nechnosim and Alev. So therefore, he said, he felt that those kind of talks would not be worthy, he said, coming out from him, unless, he said, it would be an elevated type of contact, content, as we mentioned, which appeals more to the intellect and then to be able to penetrate the heart. It's an interesting thing that, as mentioned, that his path-breaking approach, you know, to Musar, it aroused the criticisms of different mashgichim, you know, in different yeshivas, you know, when they heard about it. But he was very still staunch, you know, very still strong, and he did not change his opinion. It is said that a very well-known mashgiach, and by the way, this was told by Rav Moshe Shapiro himself, Moshe Shapiro, by the 15th yahrzeit of Rav Dessler. Rav Moshe Shapiro actually said this, related this incident, that a particular well-known mashgiach, actually reproached Rav Dessler very sharply. And criticized him for the fact that he departed, you know, from the regular content of Musa that was normally given. And the Moshe Shapiro said that Rav Dessler stood there, he clasped his hands, and bent over, you know, his shoulders forward, like really receiving the Musa, which was the style of Kelim. If somebody gave you Musa, you were there. And one of the things is, you know, in Kelim they enjoyed Musa, you know, that's the thing. People like to enjoy this, is something they enjoy. The more that you rip them apart, you know, that's what they were waiting for. Like, hit me, you know, this kind of situation. But Rav Dessler would be there, clearly accepting the Musa very silently, and receiving the Musa. And yet, it said, in spite of the high regard that he had for that mashgiach, Rav Dessler did not change. He has accepted the Musa. He was listening to the Musa, did not say anything, listened to it, and allowed the Musa to be given to him. With the greatest of their cherets, he listened to the Musa. But at the end of the day, he nevertheless was not swayed. And he said very simply, and he said, "What should I do?" He said rhetorically, "If I would give Musa the way that he once did," he said, "I don't feel it would be effective today." That's what again we said. And that's, you know, Chanoich Lenar al Pidarko. I mean, that's, he applied that in this way as well. Chanoich Lenar, methods that may have been worked, you know, years ago or in different generations, do not necessarily work in our generation. And therefore one has to have, you know, the Satish Shemai, and also to have a well thought out structure and strategy to figure out what works according to the times. Because the idea is to be able to reach those and to have the proper influences and things that were effective in days gone by do not necessarily work in future generations. Just to give you something which was a mind-boggling thing when I saw it the first time, but this clearly shows you how things have changed, things which is totally unacceptable today, and I'm talking about in the Kudan Chinuch I'm talking about. And this was clearly, there's a sefer called Minhogim Vermeise, Minhogim of Worms. You realize Worms is one of the old ancient Ashkenazi communities, you know, they go back 1,000 years, you know, Rashi himself learned in Worms, you know, Rabbeinu Gershom or Agoila, Rashi's Rebbe's Rebbe, you know, going back even 2 generations before Rashi. You know, Worms and Mainz, you know, these communities, Jewish communities, these were the fortresses of Torah, which really were Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, just spread out all over Europe. The great mighty yeshivas, the Balatoises, the Ashkenazi Balatoises of Germany. So you talk about, there's a sefer written by someone who was Rabbi Yosef Shamish. Rabbi Yosef Shamish was a Shamish in Worms. And he recorded, he was a Tam Chochem. You think about a Shamish, you always think about, in our mind, he happened to be a Shamish. But at the same time, he was a great Talmud Chochem, which he recorded the Menhogim, the various Menhogim of Vermeise, of Worms. He himself lived over 400 years ago. He himself lived. So the Menhogim that he's recording didn't start with him. Because those Menhogim is recorded the way they were. So he's already talking 400 years ago. So you can be quite assured that many, many of those Menhogim go back, way back, talking from the time of Rashi and so on and so forth. Who knows how far they go back? Some of them in Hogim was, okay, regarding a Rav, for example, they would say that those days, say, a Rav, whatever his responsibilities were, but to give a drosha basically was only really twice a year. Because Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Shuv, it wasn't like today, you know, Rabbi gets up before Musaf every Shabbos to speak. This wasn't the thing. A Rav would give Shurim, Paskin Shailas, all these things. By the way, the Rav would also be the Rosh Yeshiva you'd see in Worms. Meaning is, he'd do Fraher, he'd be testing the children, the Bochurim, solving what they're learning. But as far as giving drushes, that was not the style of those days, going back hundreds of years ago. It would be, on the Shabbos HaGodol and the Shabbos Shuv, the Rav would give a drosha. Also, he writes there, it was not customary, the Rav did not get an Aliyah every Shabbos. Well, not get Leah. You got whatever the Seder was, the Rav would get an Leah. However, it says, if the Rav offered on his own voluntarily to give an extra drosha on the Shabbos, he got a Leah that Shabbos. So he gave an Leah. That was like make it worth his while, you know, to give an extra drosha, because it was not part of his contract. And, okay. So here, as I say, here the mind-boggling part comes along. There's many, many other things, just very, very fascinating. So it says to the Rav, I believe it says there that they used to Ferher, used to test the Bochurim, the children, whatever, you know, the Cheder, was on a Thursday. Now, if someone really failed, so they would give him like warn him or something, that reprimand him, what's happening. We're talking about assuming that someone had the capabilities. It's not that someone just couldn't do it. We're talking about a Talmud that was negligent and just wasn't just interested in learning. So in order to, so if he failed, whatever the amount of time was, they would put on a cap, which was called a koiva shoytim. Today they translate it as a dunce cap, which today would be considered a very big bizoyan. How can you do that, right? How can you be mavazah child? You lose the self-esteem and you break him. But it's very interesting. But this goes back 400 years ago or more. I mean, I'm saying that. So what's the answer? The answer is, you know, by today's day, whatever it is, you know, society has changed, society understands different, and the feelings also, you know, adapt itself to times. The things that might have worked then, you know, not necessarily work today. Today we can't think of it. No school, you don't have this anywhere. Such a situation. So anyway, so I've just applied the same idea as we say to the Musar, in terms of teaching Musar. And it was said very interestingly. It was said that Rav Dessler's, they compared Rav Dessler's analytical approach to Haganata, it paralleled Rav Chaim's approach to learning Gemara, to learning Talmud. Which means in the same way that Rav Chaim's, you know, derech of learning, you know, on that special way which you call the Briska derech, with that very special analytical approach, it changed the derech halimud that was in hundreds of years past. Because if you look in the Svarim, you know, going back, certainly in Poland was the derech which was called Pilpul. Pilpul did not focus, you know, on going to the depth of a sugya, right, down to its core, but rather used to build, you know, build concepts on top of concepts without really going very thorough into the concept to see whether one concept really can compare to the other concept. There are many, many questions that were asked, contradictions. If you go really deep, deep down to the core, they're not really questions, because you realize that they're really two different situations. And it was said that it was very necessary, you know, that for Rav Chaim to come up with that approach. Why? Because Torah needed to have and to be shown that the tremendous analytical ability, analysis in Torah learning is able to combat the attraction of secular disciplines. In other words, to show that Torah does not lag behind, that anything, any intellectual stimulation that one might think can be found only, right, in the scholarly work in the outside world, but it needed, right, that Torah should be able to be on a level playing field, to show that all that intellectual prowess, and certainly more, anybody who's involved in learning, any Balchuva professor, you know, who became a Balchuva, started learning Gemara, certainly sees that the intellectual, you know, exercise that one can find in learning Gemara outweighs anything of any subject that was considered to be very deep and analytical, you know, in the other world. As a matter of fact, the Michtav Melio in Chela Gimel, he writes as follows, Rav Dessler says, in our generation, he says, which is the generation, he says, of Ikvus of the Mashiach, and as we can feel the breath pangs of Mashiach, the great ones of the generation, he said, have revealed in our generation new methodology in in-depth analysis of both halacha and agadita, because now it enlightens even those of a lowly level to be able to appreciate, he says, and to recognize, he says, the greatness that can be found in Torah. So that was, so it was compared that whatever Reb Chaim did to Gemara learning, to Talmudic study, is what Rav Dessler did in learning Agadita. To learn Agadita not just superficially, but the idea where learning it that way, Agadita would actually affect the heart. And again, Rav Dessler was saying, we repeat again, that only, he says, in our time, he says, by first arousing the intellect, then it would be possible to inspire the listeners to the real goal. What's the real goal? The real goal is the purification of the heart. But you can't go straight to the heart without first appealing to the intellect. That is the derech he felt, which is Bizman Hazeh. Appeal first to the intellect, and from the intellect it will then go further and lead, which is the real goal. The real goal is not to remain in the mind. The real goal is that it goes and penetrates and goes into the heart. So that was always the main thing. And Rav Dessler said so many times that one has to realize that a person should not forget that the tachlis of all learning, at the end of the day, what's the tachlis? What's the purpose of all learning? Gotel talmud shemev l'demaisa, to be a better yid in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the end result. The end result of all the learning is that he becomes greater, closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, very interesting, yes, when he talk about Avodas Hashem, it's called Avodas Shebelev, it's not called Avodas Shebesechel. Why? Because it's not simply an intellectual exercise. The bottom line is that it purifies the heart, and it penetrates the heart. So the tachlis of all the learning and all the intellect and all that is, at the end of the day, is to be able to penetrate the heart, and that's why Avodas Hashem is called Avodah Shebalev, which is the Avodah of the heart. And as a matter of fact, he wrote once to Rabbi Arya Carmel, which is a very choshev Talmud, and he said like this: many times we see that it doesn't penetrate the heart. He says, you know why? Because there's spiritual blockages in the heart, in the same way when there's some physical problems, you have to have it cleaned out, those arteries, he says. He says, and that is, he says, the consequences of sin, of avera, of impurity, he says, these are blockages of the heart. And if a person can only remove, he says, some of the blockages, he says, of sin from the heart, he says, then the intelligence would, he said, finally would enter the heart as well. So as long as the heart, he says, remains blocked, so the intellectual knowledge remains external, but it's not be able to penetrate. So this again, as we see, this was Rav Dessler's Mahalach, and that was what he stuck to. I can just mention, because we'll go further just right now, that when Rav Dessler came to Ponovich and he met the Chajanish for the very first time, which that was really the first of the meeting that continued on many, 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 many times, and they were very, extremely, extremely close. And the Chazon Ish once said about Rabbi Dessler, he said that he's the last person, he says, today, he said, Chazon Ish said, Rabbi Dessler, the last person who understands, he says, the toichen of Musar, which is the inner content of Musar, and not just the chitzoin, it's not just the superficial appearance. Another time he's told a particular someone who was looking for a mashgiach for a yeshiva. So he says, and the person said he was looking for someone like Rav Dessler. So Chazon Ish said, many places need a Rav Dessler, but not many Rav Desslers are born. Said the Chazon Ish. So you're looking for the right person, but he says you need a big bracha to find one, someone like that who can fill the shoes of Rav Dessler. Okay, Rabbi says, so what we go here is like this. This essay that we have over here. So it's really page 78 in the Michlam Eliyahu, which is the first one. It's called Eich La'ayin Bedvar Musar. You see how Rav Dessler in this essay basically discusses three lines of Mesilas Yesharim. Three lines of Mesilas Yesharim of the Ramchal. You see how Rav Dessler analyzes every word of the Ramchal. And to appreciate it, take the sheet, because on the sheet we put the opening statement, actually. If you take off the sheet, take the other sheet. Let's see the opening statements of Ramchal to see what this essay is referring to. So you take the other sheet. You see numbers 1 and 2. We even have the English translation from the Feldheim translation of the... These are the opening words of the Ramchal in Perek Aleph. Mamish, the first words. It's very well-known words. Yisayda Chassidus. Ramchal is trying to tell us what is the foundation of Chassidus. What is the bedrock of piety, as you see? V'shoyrish avoyda. What is the root? What is the root of shoyrish avoyda hatmima? What is the root of being able to serve Hashem flawlessly? And the Mesilas Yesharim said... He said, the foundation of piety and the foundation, the root, right, of Avodas Hashem, of perfect Avodas Hashem, what does it depend on? Now, how do you reach that foundation? How do you reach that root? What is it? She is barer v'yisames eitzel ho'odo ma'choi vosoi b'ilomoi. The first thing is that a man has to clarify and verify what his duty is. First, you have to know what you came for here. If a person does not know what his purpose is in this world, he says, then the rest is all futile. So the Yisoy, the very Yisoy, the very foundation, the Yisoy the Chassidus, and the root of the Avodah, Tatmimo, to be able to have perfect Avodas Hashem, is a person to have very clear in his mind, it should be very clear in his mind, to verify Machoi Vosoi Boilomoi, what is his purpose, what is his duty in this world. Right? Ulamat Tzorech Sheyoser Ma'botoi U'Magmosoi, person had to determine, right, what he's aiming for, B'chol Ashehu Omal Kol Yimechayev. In whatever he's going to toil throughout his life, he has to realize, for what is he doing? What is the purpose of all of that? So the person has to make very clear what his mission is here on this world. All right? So the famous words of Mesilas Yesharim. We mentioned in the past, Seyed L'Schusa of Leni Tap, Zichron L'Vrocha. Seyed Leni Tap, you know, when he got the stroke... with a stroke, and clearly he was more or less like in a coma, but even his eyes were open, he was not really able to communicate, came out nothing. And one was not really sure how much he understood when he spoke to him. He would sometimes shake his head, sometimes move his hands, but nobody could really tell how much he understood or not. I remember then asking him, because I knew in the past he would say it. I say, Lenny, he says, what are the opening words of Mesilas Yesharim? And I said, believe it or not, after the stroke, he would say, Yisoyda Chassidus V'shoyra Shavoyda Shizbara V'yisames Yisoda Machoy Vosoy Be'lomoy. He said that even when he had that stroke. So it's just an amazing thing. Not able to say come out anything. Not able to say anything. But this is what came out of his mouth. So these words, Yisoid HaChassidus, Yisoid Rishon Avoda. So now, actually, so Rav Dessler, he has an essay on these words. So let's take a look over here. He says as follows. He says, the purpose here is, his boyness, bishuris, rishoinis, you see, mesefer, mesilis, yisharim. It's basically, he says, really, trying to understand, he says, the opening lines, he says, the sefer, mesilis, yisharim. And it goes on to say like this. You see, the mesilis, yisharim starts with the word, you see, yisoid hachasidis, he talks about foundation, and he talks about root. Yisoid. So Abdesda goes, so you should appreciate what Ramchal means. First, understand what Yesoid means. Before you go further, understand what Yesoid means, what a foundation means, and understand what a root means. And then apply it to Avodas Hashem. What's a Yesoid and what's a Shairis? Says Abdesda as follows. You understand it's quite simply understood, says the Michtam Elio, Hine lachol binyan tzorich Yesoid. Every structure needs a foundation. Right? That's simple. As a matter of fact, the cholash yigba habinyan yoiser, the higher the building is, right? Tzarech huli yisoid chozak yoiser. So foundation, right, is not always the same. A smaller building, right, can get by with a smaller foundation. But the higher the building, we understand the need for a much stronger foundation. Why? Yan sho'oretz rachoi, because the soil, of course, right, is soft, and it might be too heavy. The building might be too heavy to bear on soft ground, so you need a very strong foundation. If you erech, he says, binyan godol v'kovit, right? Based upon the size of the building, if you don't have a proper foundation, it's going to fall apart. The danger of it settling, because the earth is too weak. It won't be able to hold up the building. More than that, he points out, imagine if you already have a building, you have some foundation. But the miyate habinyan, he says, hatzido bitchilosoy. If the building, right from the beginning, when you start building on the foundation, right, the foundation is in the bottom. When you start from the bottom, if the building is inclined a little bit, just a little bit, right, the building is inclined a little bit out of line, right, even to the slightest degree at ground level. But as you build up, you find by the time it reaches the top, it's totally out of line. So the yisoid, the foundation, ground level has to be as perfect as possible. As perfect as possible, as he says. V'miyate habinyan, hatsido bitchilosoy, oy bemso yisoy, right? So maybe, right, if you incline the building, right, a little bit out of line, it may be so far out, he says, afilo mashehu. Right, so oz begovei lamalo. What was just a little bit, the slightest degree on the bottom. But if you look at the top of the building, because given that line of going to the side, so when you reach the top of the building, noiter who called kach miyeshrusoy, you'll find that the building is so far out that it won't be able to stand. It'll be leaning so strongly, it'll simply fall apart, fall over. It'll fall over. And simply the building, it'll fracture, the building will collapse. Now, so now Rav Dessler says, we're talking about not a physical binyan. Okay, so let's make a kal v'chomer. If this is the case, how strong and how solid a foundation has to be. When you're building a material structure, so that's the case, he says, b'binyan gashmi, that the yisoid has to be as strong and as perfect as possible. Should not be out of line. Should be straight. Should be in proper order. So kolchkins are certainly bibinyan ruchni shal yir shemayim tzedek v'chassidus. When we are trying to build ourselves, we rabbisa, we are a structure. We are a spiritual structure. So we are a spiritual construction, and in order to be able to build our spiritual construction, we need a yisoid. The higher we hope to reach in our spiritual construction, the yisoid has to be all that much stronger, as we find in the Binyan Gashmi, as Rav Dessler points out. So it certainly says, Bibinyan Ruchni. So certainly when we're talking about, right, in a spiritual structure, so you have to understand that we realize, we say, Yeshemayim, Tzedek, V'chassidus, we're talking about Tzidkis, we're talking about piety, we're talking about Yeshemayim, right? And by the way, that structure of Yeshemayim, reaches all the way to Shemayim. The tallest building, how tall is the tallest building? So we know, right, this building is this tall, say to me, this building, then this building becomes taller, this building becomes taller. How tall is it? From perspective of Shemayim, if you fly up to the sky and you look down, it's a small building. But the binyan of your Shemayim, the spiritual construction, reaches all the way to Shemayim. That's the highest building possible. So the higher the building, the stronger the foundation has to be in the bottom. it's higher the building. So you're talking about a spiritual construction. So Adesso says, as you imagine, he says, you're talking about, again, let's run through, I left out a line here, let's go again. Vimkachu bebin yigashmi, ashigam im yivnuhu, he says, ben kama koimus, a physical structure, no matter how tall you build it, is still considered below when you're looking from the top. An aerial view from the top, you see, halenomachu listakal milamala, it's quite low when you look from the top. So, and yet it needs, as we said, it needs a strong yisoid, it needs a strong foundation. So, kolchkin, he said, bebin yiruchdin shirushamayim, tzedek v'chesidus, asheroisha migya shamayimo, that's the really tall, endlessly tall building, the physical construction. Kama Mesukenu, he says, there's a great risk, even in a small error, when you're building this spiritual construction. It is so dangerous. Kalideitos Kitano, he says, because even, he says, from a small error, in other words, if there's a slight tendency, if you veer off the truth, that's the incline. We spoke about the physical building. In your spiritual construction, if you veer off the truth and you veer off from honesty, even a little bit, he says, he says, Hatzido, you move it to the side, person says, just a little. No, the Yisrael has to be strong. Because foundation is not strong, then the building just topples. The building just falls. And it comes out that whether all of his work, all the person's work and effort will be in vain. Because why? Because the foundation wasn't strong. And it was also maybe tilted to the side. So you veered off course. And then the higher you go, you continue to go more off course and more off course, he says. So now we have to decide, okay. So I told you, says Rav Dessler, I told you now, and by the way, he's using that in Mesilas Yesharim, because Mesilas Yesharim talked about Yesoid HaChasidus. That's why he's working on the word Yesoid. All of this is leading up to explain the word of Yesoid HaChasidus. It's all a lead-up, introduction. So now that I've told you how important it is to have a foundation, because you understand by a material structure, everybody understands. So the same thing, says Rav Dessler, you have to have a solid foundation also in spiritual construction. Question is, what is that Yesoid? You build a physical and material construction. Well, what is it? Cement, dirt, stones, this... What is the foundation when you're building a spiritual construction? What is it? What are the materials? What are the orders? What is it? What are the foundation? What are the materials? Mawa Yesoid. What is the Yesoid, he says? What foundation can you prepare, he said? Asher nochin lebinyan hakovet hakabir hazeh, this tremendous binyan, asher yuchal amoid, it should be able to stand. What is it? That's question number one. So, because now we understand we need a Yesoid. We have made a case, you need a Yesoid. If you're building a binyan, you need a Yesoid. You need a foundation. Certainly, as we saw, everybody understands that by Gashmis, so all the more, he says, this, certainly it would be much, much more because it's a much taller building. The taller the building, the stronger the foundation. Spiritual construction is the highest than any ever material construction can ever hope to reach. So about the foundation certainly has to be that all that much stronger. Okay, so we understand Yesoid. You need a very strong Yesoid. Now, before explaining what that Yesoid is, but Ramchal said another thing. He spoke about Yesoid HaChasidus, the foundation of Chasidus, and Rav Dessler now just pointed out how important the foundation is, but Ramchal also talked about roots, Sheirish HaAvodah, the root. Let's understand what a root means. Let's understand what a root means. So it goes down. The Chayin, he says, and so on, he says. He says, similarly, Kol Ilan Yeshlo Sheirish, every tree possesses roots. Now, says Rav Dessler, before we apply it to spirituality, what do the roots of a tree function? What are the purposes? Rav Dessler says, Ushtei Toyali Yoiz Bozeh, which means is every tree possesses roots, and roots basically fulfills two functions. Roots of a tree fulfill two functions. What are the two functions of roots of a tree? One, Aleph, he says, the first one is, Shememenoi Hu Yoinik Vigadel. In other words, it's the root that draws up the sustenance. The tree, right, needs sustenance. And how does the tree get sustenance from the ground? It's through the root, right? So it's the root that gives and draws up sustenance for the tree, right, and allows the tree to grow. Okay, that's one purpose of the root. What's the other purpose? The second purpose, he says, base. The second purpose, he says, Sheshroshov Hamistafim Omoik Ba'oris. He says, the spread, a tree that has a root system, a spread of a root system, is very important. You know why it's important? Because the spreading of the root system deep in the ground, Yishmeruhu Shalayapiluhu Shumruach Varash. It protects the tree against being overthrown by wind or by storm. What gives the koyach of a tree? Ever tried to uproot a tree? See how difficult it is? Why? They're the roots. Oh, so the roots give stability as well. So two things, the two purposes of roots. A, first thing the roots is, that's the koyach where the tree draws sustenance to be able to grow. That's how it's yoinik, that's how it gets its food from. That's how it drives the sustenance. But second of all, the roots, right, keep the tree in place. The root system, as we saw, that root system that we have, deep in the ground, it protects it. You can have very strong wind, yet the tree is very firmly connected to the ground through the koyach of the roots, to the strength of the roots. As he points out, the kol shekein beruchni is, so now that you understand what roots are, that's the roots of a tree. Ramchal applied shoy rishu avoida. There's roots. Avoidus Hashem also need roots for the same two purposes. Let's take a look. What are the roots needed when you're talking about your spiritual endeavors? What are the roots about? The Koshkin certainly says Baruchnius. Certainly says when you talk about, right? When this applies to spiritual life. First of all, a person needs roots. A person needs roots to sustain him, to stimulate him, and to make him grow. A person has to grow spiritually. Where's he going to grow? So he needs roots. What do you mean he needs roots? He needs a proper source from where he's going to be able to be shoyef, to be able to draw, right? To allow him to grow spiritually. In other words, roots means where are you connected? If you're connected to the wrong place, you're not going to grow spiritually. Your roots have to be firmly planted in the right place. In the same way that the roots by a tree, right? So the same thing here also. Umagam, and not only that, he says, in the same way we said by the tree, the roots protected, you know, from the fierce winds. Spiritually, we are all exposed. We're all exposed to the fierce winds, to the anti-forces, to all the forces that are blowing, right? Which are completely trying to uproot a person from a spiritual life. They're being exposed to the nature of the world, what's happening in the world, to the behavior of the world, to the tumor of the world, to the evil of the world. So what keeps us in line? How is a person able to withstand all the necessities, all the challenges, and try to uproot him from his Yiddishkeit? The roots. Depends how strong your roots are. Like the tree needs the roots, right, to protect it from the storms. We need spiritual roots to be able to protect it, he says, from all the things around us. Not to be, right, not to be influenced by things around us. As he says, Umagama shebekoichoi, he says, and what more, he says, at the same time, if you have proper roots, right, with the, through the koich of the roots, spiritual roots, yamu neged kol ruach rash visar, right, you'll be able to stand firm in the face of all the storm and all the turmoil. It's talking about spiritual things, talking about, right, which are against, right, things which are evil forces trying to break down hasoy moisem called sad shelo ya'akru al ponov, which threaten to overthrow him. So a person is being threatened, right, his whole Yiddishkeit, his whole Avodas Hashem is being threatened by being exposed to what's all around him. So you have to have firm roots. That's why he said Ramchal talks about Shairish, the importance of roots. We talk about foundation, right? And we spoke about roots. Now, the Noisev Lazai says, I'll tell you more than that. Here he says, I'll give you another example. Says the Michtam Eliyahu. Hello, he says, after all, he says, Kol Mechune. He says, any machine asher chalokeo dakim biyoiser. You have, for example, a machine which is an extremely delicate machine. If you have a delicate machine and it's fragile, you can realize if you have a delicate machine, it needs, the more delicate it is, it needs constant supervision. It's a delicate machine. It's fragile. Says Rav Dessler, if even a machine, right, a machine, asher chalokeo dakim biyoiser, which is parts, right, are very sensitive, are very thin, delicate. Ubekal yishbru, tzrich shmira yoiser. So he says, Avodas Hashem, he says, perfection, he says, and Avodas Hashem is very, very delicate. You know why? Because the Pasuk, when it comes to serving Hashem, the Pasuk says, Tomim tiyem Hashem elokecho. Try to be as perfect as possible with Hashem. Tomim. Now we know if you bring an animal for a carbon, even if it has a mum, right? If it has a blemish, it's disqualified from a carbon. What about if a human being has a blemish and he wants to serve Hashem? that blemish, right, takes away from the effectiveness of your avodas Hashem. So you're very delicate, not right to be careful. Nishmira Yisera, a person is a spiritually delicate machine. A delicate machine needs supervision. Your avodas Hashem, you are a delicate machine spiritually. He says. Avodas Hashem Yisborach, as it says, Tom Tiyam Hashem Lekecha Blishum Pagam. It said, try to be as perfect as possible, right? Right, without a defect. We know that even a blemish, at least blemish, it passes the carbon. The carbon becomes qualified. So imagine, he says, if a physical pagam, an animal, let's say, has a blemish on the leg, right? It's possible for carbon. It's in the leg, that's all. Imagine if the blemish is in the heart. Your avodas Hashem is the heart. If your heart is not as pure, it's not in the right place. So he says, Mikolshkin serving Shav Gamu Balev. If the defect is in the lev, or even Atzma, the person trying to serve Hashem, can you imagine? So certainly, Umaya Shayrish Achozok. So what is this strong root? So now we need strong roots to be able, right, to stand firmly and be able to withstand all that which threatens, right, which threatens us spiritually. We need strong roots. So what is that? So what are those roots? We still didn't define what the foundation is. What are the roots? What are they? We are so far understanding that we need a strong foundation. We need a sound foundation. We understand that we need very strong roots. We didn't define what those roots are and what the foundation is. So what is the strong root? So what is the strong roots which basically they reach into the depth, right? Which reach basically into the depth of the heart of the person. Of the heart, Asher Yishmerenu, which is so strong that these roots are going to protect the person, Shmira Me'ula Kol Kach. They're going to be capable of protecting a person so strong, right, that our service to Hashem will remain unblemished. Right? Shleitifstala Vodiseinu Afila Bimashehu. And Vashe Yoniklona, these roots, as a matter of fact, should also be able to sustain us with spiritual health giving nourishment. Because that's what roots do to a tree. Similarly, spiritually, we need spiritual roots that continue to feed us, right? To be able to grow. Shalom rut milchemes ayetzah chazoko. Right? In spite of the fact that we have constant opposition to the Yetzirah, the strong roots will not allow the Yetzirah to uproot us if we have strong roots spiritually. What is that, he said? After all, he says, Haloizuhi Reishis Avodas Odom. After all, this has to be the first thing. In other words, when a person wants to start a career of Avodas Hashem, right? The first thing he has to know, what is the foundation upon his building, his spiritual construction, and what are the roots? Otherwise, how are you going to build your building? No, so now you have to find out what is that foundation and what are the roots, as he points out. Again, Halayizuhi Rashis Avodas Odom. He said, in other words, surely this has to be but the first thing that a person has to look for. In his Avodas Hashem, what is that? That he should build, right? He should build in himself a firm foundation, as he says. He should implant with himself but implant in that which is healthy roots for serving Hashem. But if we don't yet know what is the nature of this foundation, if we don't know what is the nature of this root, then it's obvious, he said, that we never tried to find it. That's obvious. It means that we're never busy with that. Avodas Hashem needs study. You have to work on it. It means that we took it naturally. It means that we never really worked on it. We never took any action in this matter. And therefore it does not exist really in our hearts. Whatever we're doing is just external. Yeah, you can put on tefillin, you can do everything. But if you're not really working on Avodas Hashem, it just becomes by road, it just becomes habitual. And it's not in the heart, he says. So what hope is there for us? It's just going to be mechanical and it's all going to be external, he says. So therefore, we have to give thanks, says Rav Dessler to the Ramchal. So therefore we have to, right, be eternally grateful to someone who's going to come, right, and tell us, Mahem, what is the Yisoid HaChasidus that the Ramchal starts, the very first words of Ramchal? Because now we understand how important is the Yisoid HaChasidus, the foundation of the Chasidus, right? The foundation of piety. What is that foundation? And what are the roots of perfect service to Hashem? What are they? So, Rav Dessler goes on and says, I'm going to tell you what the foundation and the roots are. Because without that, He says, it's an exercise in futility to try to grow spiritually. It's not going to work. You need a strong foundation, and you need the roots. What are they? Ramchal started out, Yesod HaChassidus. Radesh just explained these words of Yesod and Shairish, with the tree, with everything. So we should really understand and appreciate how important the foundation is, and how important the roots are. So he starts out to say as follows. Is a very fascinating thing, he says. The fact is that there are many branches of wisdom in the world. We don't deny that there is wisdom in the world. There's a lot of wisdom in the world. There are many branches of wisdom. The question we ask, he says, which is the deepest and the broadest of all wisdoms? Which is the deepest? What's the deepest? Is it philosophy? Is it mathematics? Oh, Torah. Yeah? Which is it? He says, of all the different branches of wisdom in the world, which is the broadest, which is the deepest, right? Meaning, which is the deepest type of wisdom that requires the most careful clarification, because it's so deep, right? So it needs the most careful clarification, because it's so deep, it's so complex. Which is it? Which chokhmah is so complex, which is so deep, that it needs the greatest effort to be able, right, to be able to acquire it? The kalmoy litzis bahu, and therefore it's very easy to make serious errors, because it's so deep, it's so profound, so you really have to work at it. So therefore the question is, mahi achokhmah? So now, which branch of wisdom stands above all other wisdoms? Which is it? Maya chokhmah asher hi oila al kol shar chokhmah kol kach. It stands so much, it's so much higher that it alone deserves the title of chokhmah. In other words, when you reach something that's the ultimate chokhmah, all the other chokhmahs become bottle. All the other chokhmah, because you're putting it side by side next to the real chokhmah, which is so much higher, it's not just bigger, that all the others become bottle, that alone really deserves the title of wisdom. What is that? So he says, well, if you want to find out what wisdom is, ask the smartest person. Who is the wisest? Who is Shlomo HaMelech? He's the chokhmah kolodom. So Shlomo HaMelech is the chokhmah kolodom. He's the wisest of all men. If you want to find out which branch of wisdom stands above everything, so ask the wisest of men. And what does the wisest of men say? What does Shlomo HaMelech say? Well, he's called Om Alonu, so the Piyuatzmoy Kavar, Om Alonu, Hein Yiris Hashem Yichokhmah, Yiris Hashem. Yiris Hashem, the fear of Hashem. The fear of Hashem, he says, that is Chokhmah. And he goes on to explain. L'davayneinu, unfortunately, says now Rav Dessler. L'davayneinu, unfortunately. Can, see, a person sits back and says, oh yeah, Yiris Hashem? He says, really? I understand the importance of Yiris Hashem. But how are you throwing me this? Yiris Hashem, this is the biggest Chokhmah? I can hear it's important, it's a Chokhmah. That's the biggest Chokhmah. So Rav Dessler says, that shows how ignorant we are. Because we are so far removed even to understand, how could that be? How can Yiris Hashem be the... We don't have so many different branches of wisdom in the world. Yes, Hashem, that's the greatest chokhmah. So Adesla says, now you find out within yourself, he says, how ignorant we are, how far removed we are. Kan nilmad lodatis madrega sichloseinu. When we hear this and we say, really? Yes, Hashem, because you're so far removed, he says. Here, he says, we can gain some insight, right? And to find out, he says, how little we know about Yerushalayim. Hein lo neida klal, he says, we don't even know kichokhmi. The fact is, we didn't even know that this is a branch of knowledge at all. All of a sudden, we find out that not only is Yiras Hashem a branch of wisdom, we find that that's the highest. We didn't even know that's a branch of wisdom. We know it's something. We know it's an item. We know it's an important item. But we didn't know that this is in the category of what's called wisdom. We didn't think of that. How far we are removed, he says. Loinasig, and we certainly are not able to comprehend, he says. We don't have even the faintest idea, he says. Lomu yachokhma yoyse gedoylu. Certainly we don't understand, why is Yiras Hashem the greatest chokhma? Eiloma afila hashor koshu. We don't even have the faintest inkling to try to figure out, why is Yiras Hashem the biggest chokhma, he says. In other words, he says, why is it? He says, but there are so many complexities in sciences. He says, there's so many numerous, right? He says, so what is it? So what is it in this thing? What seems to be so deep in the science of Yerushalayim? What is considered to be such a deep and such a profound, complex type of a chokhmah when you're dealing with Yerushalayim? So he says, the truth is, he says, Ba'emes, Yaradnu Peloyim, because we have sunk very low on a spiritual scale. That's why we are so far removed. Is Be'emes Yaradnu Peloyim. Primum means fantastically. Peloyim. that we have sunk Poloim v'sochachnu kolkach, but he says, Avazelo yifterenu, but does not free us from our obligations. And that is, no matter how low we might be, but now, he says, when we find out what obligations are, does not free us. Person says, oh, I'm so low already. Okay, there's no way that I can really change. There's no way that really I can revitalize. There's no way that I can rejuvenate. No, 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 no. No matter how low that you have sunk, he says, that does not free you from obligation. Because Hashem is Yisborach ba'atzmoi, because Kodesh Baruch Himself gil alone b'toirosoi, because Hashem revealed to us in the Torah. What did he reveal in the Torah? You'll see a pasuk, we know that pasuk. Maybe we didn't take it out. Hashem said in one pasuk that the entire Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, is based on one thing. It's Yerushalayim. Look at the pasuk. We know the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself told us that. He told us in the Torah, and by the way, in the Torah, if it's written in the Torah, it means we're all mechuyev. There's no one who's exempt from it. If it's written in the Torah, it means we're all mechuyev. Ki kulonu mechuyevim boi. V'chehi HaKoyel, Yerushalayim, that really encompasses everything. Your Shemaim encompasses everything. The Pasuk says, what does Hashem demand from you? Ki'im li'iro, right? But to fear Hashem. But to fear Hashem. Which means to say is that Hakol Kol Bol, which means that everything, right, is here. Ubilto ein dover. Without your Shemaim, you have nothing. Without your Shemaim, he says, you have nothing. Everything is included. Besides, like this. So, Rodesh goes on therefore to point out, and he says, he says the truth is, the avodah, he says, of Yerushalayim, which is, to clarify exactly, in other words, as he pointed out, excuse me, okay, I left out here on top here because I'm just working for time here. Let's do the time. Oh, no. Okay. He says, now, okay, so he said, so basically what is Ki'im Liyira? Ki'im Liyira means that that's everything. Everything, the Torah bounds down to one thing, to be Yerushalayim. So, Omnam Koshi Moid Moid Malecha Sabir, he says, it's true, he says, that the work of clarification is extremely difficult. In other words, every person has to take stock of himself where he stands in Avodas Hashem. It's not easy, you know why? Because a person is very much clouded in not recognizing where he is and where he should be, as he points out. The Malecha Sabir, the work of clarification, to find clarification where you are, it's extremely difficult. Koshi Moid Moid, Ki Asivuchim Menafsheinu Hem. Because the complexities are within our own neshama. The koiches hanefesh ramukim. It's in the deepest, right? It's in the deepest traits of our character. And basically, it's what we have. Every person has hidden desires, hidden will. And therefore, we don't admit to ourselves. Because we have certain desires. We don't want these desires to be curbed, right? So therefore, he says, we have ritzoinus, we have hidden will. We have tavish seinu ashelon edoim. We have things, and therefore, we don't even want to admit that we are slaves to these desires. It turns out that every crooked path seems straight in our eyes, because that's what we want to do. That's what we are inclined to do. That's which we are driven to do. If we don't see the truth, we don't see it the right way. And therefore it turns out at the end that we have no, right? We have no clear vision when it comes to our chesroinus. We can only see the deficiencies in other people. That's what he says. He says, and therefore he says, the avoid, as he goes down further to say, is even for a person intellectually realize what the right thing is. Radesu goes on to say again what we spoke in the Hagdoma, that a person has to work at it. What? That the end of the day is, it says, the mind has to, mind over matter. The mind has to have control of the heart. He gives a very beautiful moshul that intellectually, Rabbi Isai, is not enough to make you do the right thing. And he gives a very, very simple illustration. It's surprising, this goes back, 60 years ago, and already then he perceived it. Look what he says here. So I want to tell you more. He says, Habir Hazeh, the clarification. A person should really know. Should really know the truth. So at least believe bein odafke. The truth has to be known in the heart. It's not enough to know it in the mind. It's not enough, he said, to have in the intellect. Hakores halev, and to have the heart agree. That's the most difficult, because there's always tension between the mind and the heart. The mind wants, believes one thing, knows one thing, and the heart wants to do something else. Here's the example. He says, Yodei ani biatzmi yibor b'sichli. He says, it's very clear, he says, I may know something perfectly well in the intellectual sense, For example, Lamashul, I make know intellectually she ishun hasigarius kosher hu libriyosi. Here that's smoking. It's talking about 60 years ago. A person intellectually knows that smoking is harmful. He doesn't stop smoking. Why not? Because the lave, the desire in the lave, the message did not, right? Did not go down into the heart. I can see every day. I can see every day, say, how it's affecting my health. And yet I continue to smoke. The lover who's a why? Intellectually, I know the truth. The answer is shelevavi dovuk behergol ha'ishin. Because why? In my heart, I'm still connected with smoking. And if the heart is still connected with smoking, he says, as long as a person is not able to turn the heart around to agree to the mind, then habits will never change. That is the avodah sa'odim rabbeisai. And that's basically, I said, the first part. He goes on furthermore, but we're out of time here on this Nekudah. But I just want to show you there's something that Rabbi Chonon, that we have here on the sheet, which really discusses in so many words what Rav Dessa pointed out here. He says that without Yerushimayim, right, no matter what, he says, it does not, you know, the extent of how much value a person's Avodas Hashem is, the extent of how much Yerushimayim he has. But here's something very fascinating. quite a while back, we touched upon this. This is Rabbi Chonon, look over here, on the sheet here. You see, Soiv Dover Hakol Nishma. You see it, the last piece here. Soiv Dover Hakol Nishma. You remember the Poskin Kehelas, it says, Soiv Dover Hakol Nishma, at the end of the day, what's that? After all of the Kehelas, right? As the Lakim Yerah, this is voice of Shemoy. What's after that? Kizek kol odom. Kizek kol odom. Look what Rabbi Chonon says. Rabbi Chonon Wasserman. Kizek kol odom. Hachavon. You know what it means? Kizek kol odom. He says shloyala bedat cholemer. Don't make a mistake. Yerushimayim is just a mile. In other words, the person says Yerushimayim is a mile. A person who doesn't have Yerushimayim is also an odom. He's an odom without Yerushimayim. Not true. Without Yerushimayim, you're not an odom. Kizek kol odom. A person will say, he's an Odom, he's an Odom with Yerushimayim, he's an Odom without, no. A Odom without Yerushimayim is not an Odom. Ki zeh kol ha'odom, the entire Odom is only Yerushimayim. He says, you see what he's saying? Shoyala bedat cholema, don't think for one moment, this is Rabbi Chonon, Kovi Soros, at the end, there's a Divra Agoda for Rabbi Chonon. Sefer Yevomis at the end, he says, Shoyala bedat cholema, don't make a mistake thinking, ki yiras Hashem hi maile bi'odom, it's just a maile. Okay, just a mile. Means it's just an extra, right? It's like an extra credit thing. You'll think like that. Somebody who doesn't have Yerushimayim is also a person. He's just missing the mile of Yerushimayim. It's like this. Look, to know how to sing, right, is a mile. But a person who doesn't know how to sing, he's also a person. He's a person who doesn't know how to sing. He's lacking the mile of singing. So you'll say a person doesn't have Yerushimayim. He's a person who doesn't have the mile of Yerushimayim. No. Without Yerushimayim, you're not an Odom. You'll see why. You'll really see why. So Al Zeba across the Lashem Yon, the Posse comes out, don't make a mistake. That lack of Yerushimayim is just missing a mile. Lack of Yerushimayim is just missing a mile. No. She'ein okein. Ki mi she'ein ba Yerushimayim ein odom kal. What is he? He's a Balchai. Balchai is, look. Balchai. There's a lot of living creatures. There's animals, there's birds, right? There's a wild animal. He's a Balchai like any other. What makes him an Odom? What makes him an Odom? Superior to all other creatures. What makes him an Odom is the ability, the fact that he has Yerushimayim. Otherwise, he's a Balchai. Ki zeh kol Odom. That's what the Pasuk is saying. V'zul azeh, without Yerushimayim, ein l'madreges Odom. The Eichus, and therefore, if you want to measure how much mensch is he, how much of a person is he? Well, if Yerushimayim defines the person, then the truth is, he's so much person only according to how much Yerushimayim. If he has more Yerushimayim, then he's more Odom. If he has less Yerushimayim, then he's less of an Odom. That's what he says. The Eichus, the quality of Odom, clear, right? The quality of how much Odom he is, Kluya, it depends. Rak v'milis Yerushimayim asher b'kirboi. How much Yerushimayim you have? Im ma'at v'im harbe. Hainu. Im yesh bo Yerushimayim b'midim merube hodom gozo. He has a lot of Yerushimayim, because that defines an Odom. So if you have a lot of Yerushimayim, then you're an Odom Godel. You're a great man. Then Bemidim Muetis, and if you have a small measure of Yerushimayim, then Odom Kotem. Then Ein Beklum, you have no Yerushimayim, Ein Odom Klal, like Balchai B'tmunas Odom. You're a creature that has a tzura of an Odom. In other words, you have a formation of a human being, but you're not an Odom of Yerushimayim. Now look, and I'll show it to you. It's very clearly evident, Abiyah Kosov. Nasa Odom. Rukhonen says, it's an amazing thing what he says. It's an amazing thing. You realize when it came creation of man, because Rukhonen said Nasa, what does Nasa mean? Nasa is plural. We will make man. And that way opened up, you know, a bag and a can of worms. You know, all the, even the secular world, the biblical scholars. What is Nasa Odom? We. What do you mean? Only, you're saying it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It should be, as I will make man. What's Nasa plural? So B'cholim brings the Zohar HaKadosh interpretation. What is Nasa? Let's remember. Nasa, or the man, was the last of creation. First we had all the creatures, right? Birds, animals, chayis, oifis, fish, everything. Everything was created before man. Man was at the end. So the Zohar HaKadosh said, when Hashem came to create man, Hashem went to all the creatures and said, what do you mean we? All of us. I want every living creature to donate something of himself to man. In other words, a lion would give some of his character to man. A bear would give some of his character to man. Right? A tiger would give some of that. A wolf would give. So man is a composite of all the creatures in the entire world. Man is a composite. He has within himself pieces of every living being in the world. Nasa, we all together will make man. Which means every living creature till now, before man, will now contribute to man. You know what that means? That man is the wildest tachayas of all the chayas. That is the wildest animal. Because why? Because all the wild animals put together. Yeah, look, Ruach HaZeh. We see what man is capable of doing. We see. Abnasa Odom, Upershu Bezoya. What does the Zoya say? Shekhar Ibrahu Omer Lachol Abriyeh. Hashem Baruch Hu said to the entire Bria, Kula, to the entire Bria, Nasu Kulono Yachad Odom. So Kulono Nishtatev, that all of us should be Mishtatev Vibriyosa. We should all be Mishtatev, we should all participate in creating man. Hainu, Shekol Echad Yitain Odom Mitivoy Utchunosoy. Everybody should give some of his, right, inner character, whatever he possesses, give to man. Donate some of your character. Shashor, for example, the ox, Yitim by Tchuna Shor. So man has now the Tchuna, has the character of a shor, of an ox. Vahari, and the lion, he would donate to man, Yitim by Tchuna Sari. Vanochesh, and the snake, Tchuna Snochesh. Vahul, etc., etc., etc. Vinimto, ki odom echod hu oilam kotten. Man is a small, miniature world, he's a total world. Because one man, right, one man really has within himself everything else that in the living world. So man is an olam kodin, ha-koilu b'toichoi, who is nichla within him, tchunois kola nevroim al yoyim taktoinim. Man has within himself everything that exists, bel yoyim taktoinim, because everything contributed to the creation of man. Vim kain, koichoisein shokol chayis roi shaboilam, this is what Rabbi Chanan says. So the koiches of all the chayis rois, of all the wild chayis, nichla hu b'yodom. They all included in man, the ein lo chayir ro noi ro kizu. There's no, he says, fiercest animal, he said, than man. There's no wilder animal than man is capable of being. Now, well, Avadze, besides that, man also has a weapon of ammunition. So if man is the biggest chayah, he said, right? He's the wild. But man also has the mind. So he's a chayah with a mind. He's a chayah with a koich hadibur. So now, with all of the traits of all the animals, he has a weapon to be able to use it to the greatest destructive force. Because he has his intelligence to use it in a bad way. Man, Avadze, hello, yesh, leodim, kli mashchis, asher ein lishum chayah bi'olam. And that's hadei of hadibur. The mind and the world. So man, being the biggest, wildest animal, also has the ability to do the biggest destruction, because he has also day and dibur, he has intelligence and he has speech. So now, says Rabbi Chanan, if you have one wild animal, what do you need to do to control a wild animal? You need to chain it. You have to chain it. If one, even one wild animal, you need to chain, what is the chain that chains that wildest animal of animals called man? What chains him? What's the chain? Yerushalayim. The only thing that holds him back from acting out on all the traits, being the wildest chayah, he has within himself all the chayahs. Man is within himself all the chayahs of everything. If one chayah needs a chain, right? You have to put even one, you have to let it loose. So man, which is all the chayahs put together, what's the chain? He's the wildest chayah of all. The chain of this wild chayah called man is Yerushalayim. Without the Yerushalayim, he's an animal let loose. Not an animal. The world, it's like a zoo of all the animals let loose. One man is like a whole zoo letting loose. Look what he says. When ma'achas shel chayah achas terefes. If you have one chayah that kills, tzorach l'koishra, you have to tie it, mishal shel shel barzel, right? You have to use a chain of metal. Kamish al shaloy tzrichel la'atzer bat chayah neroi kodom. So how many chains do you need to chain, man? How many chains do you need? So if a Kodesh Baruch created man, you can be sure he also created the chain. Another question is, so what is that shalshel? What is that chain? Zuhi Yerushalayim, Asher Rakhila Vado, only Yerushalayim Bekoicha La'atzer is Adam to hold back the control man. So Yer Kechaya Torefes should not be a wild animal. It's only Yerushalayim. Vizulasa, if not for Yerushalayim, Loitoyer Shum Tachbula BeOilam, nothing will help Lishmar is Adam Alahazik. Even if he's a smart, he's the greatest philosopher like Aristotle, he says. Because the greatest, he says, intellectuals in the world are capable of destroying the world even more. Intelligence has nothing worth. It's not. Why? Because you always rationalize. And you're selfish. What's good for me, right? But good for me justifies killing out other people. I should have it better. So like Aristotle says, even if you can be a chocham and a philosopher, when he has the yesahara, we know. When Aristotle has the yesahara, all the chochma doesn't help. So what controls man? This big wild animal. It's only one thing, Yerushalayim. That's why Avraham Avinu said to Avimelech, Raken Yesh Hashem B'mokem Hazeh V'harguni El Dvarishti. Avimelech said, why, you don't trust me? He said, you're afraid that we would take your wife. Avinu says, if there's no Yerushalayim, he says, then there's no control. If there's no Yerushalayim V'harguni, you can even kill me, you even kill, commit murder to take my wife. V'harguni El Dvarishti. By the way, rak, what's rak mean? Look at Rabbi Chonon, look at the second line. Vachvona rak. Rak means, Shezulas Yerushalayim lo hoyachaserim shumala b'chochma midas d'cheres. He said very beautifully, Avimelech, besides Yerushalayim, they had all the ethics in the world. You hear this? Rabbi Chonon is saying, Avimelech was not a hefker to give people. They had all the ethics and morals in the world. But rak, the only thing they were missing in Yerushalayim. And without that, it's a gunish vet. It can be all the ethics, so you can preach everything. Every society preaches ethics. No, it's but when it comes right to their own interests, it all goes down the drain. So therefore, rak, that's what rak means. If you don't have Yerushalayim, kol zeh lo yoyel mein b'im Yerushalayim. That's the Yesod. And that's the word, Rabbi Yisrael. Kizeh kol ha'odah.